Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is taken from the third chapter of James. James chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. James 3, verse 14. But if ye have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Once again, a pleasant good morning, appreciative of your attendance here in the building as we worship God in spirit and in truth. Those tuned in by way of radio as well, we're appreciative of you and invite you to come back and be with us at any chance that you may have here at the Arlington Church of Christ. A warm welcome awaits you. You know, in class, I was talking with Brother Dwayne, and we were comparing weddings that we went to over the weekend as well, since he wanted to be used in this one. And we were just talking about, we went to a wedding of two cell phones. The ceremony was terrible, but reception is pretty good. You happy now? Okay. You just went on and on and on, so here we are. We are appreciative of you being here. We are concluding a series we've been talking about for the whole month of May. I'm a firm believer that we as Christians can overcome with the power of God. We've talked about overcoming fear, worry, procrastination, and discontentment. And so we'll close that out today. We're going to overcome envy. Kind of save this one for last. This is the one that people say, well, I don't need a sermon on overcoming envy. I am good. Well, you might be envious and may not be necessarily realizing it. Why? Because envy is a common sin. It seems almost everyone faces that green-eyed monster. We always think of green with envy. So we're going to call it that green-eyed monster. Yet, envy is a sin that is seldomly confessed. People may be envious, but they don't repent of being envious. They'll repent of this or of that, but they won't repent of being envious. Envy, if you will, has been described as a devilish thing that has wide ears so it can catch slander. Envy has been depicted with a tongue that's like a serpent. And envy has been depicted with feet that are standing in the fire as a symbol of the wretchedness that always dogs its steps. See, it's trying to hear, so it wants. It's trying to slander with its tongue. It's trying to stand to maybe take what you have. Envy is a problem, not only in the world, but it can be at times a problem in the Lord's church. Socrates said, who lived about 470 BC, envy is the daughter of pride. It is the author of murder and revenge, the begetter of secret sedition, the perpetual tormentor of virtue. Envy will take away the joy that we have in life. It will make us want things that we cannot have, and therefore we will be sad, or want to take things that are somebody else's, and we know that's wrong, so then we stop being happy. If you look up envy in a dictionary, it's discontentment at the excellent of good fortune of another. It's also being resentful. If I see you have success, but I'm resentful about that, if I'm discontent, if I'm not happy that you're happy, that you're successful, that's envy. That's resentful. If you got a promotion that I didn't get, I should be happy for you. But if I'm not, then I'm really envying your position, whether you realize it or not. You look at the root of it, it means to look against, to have an evil eye against, if you would. We kind of see that rearing its ugly head there in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. Look there with me before we move on. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. Notice here what Jesus says. Mark 7 and 21. He's talking about verse 20. That which comes out of the man is that which defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. He says all these come within, defile a man. To have that evil intent, to look at what you have. It comes from within and it defiles. For instance, you go back, and we won't run these references, but think back in the Old Testament book of Genesis. See, Rachel envied Leah, Jacob's wives, because Leah had all these kids. and Rachel didn't. So she envied. She was resentful that Leah had these kids and Rachel didn't. You jump on down, or go back a little bit, I should say. The Philistines envied Isaac because Isaac had all this land, had all this cattle, had all these possessions. So the Philistines envied him and they sought to take that away. I want us to talk about envy today and how we can overcome it. But first, we need to talk about the nature of envy. Really, what kind of roots in it? Go back to our lesson text, if you will, of James chapter 4, or James chapter 3, rather. Notice the nature of envy. It is devilish. He says, if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, well, we've already looked that envy comes within the hearts, what defiles the man. He says, envying in your hearts, glory not. Don't be excited. Don't be happy. He said, lie not against the truth. So don't say you don't have it when you know you do. This wisdom descends not from above. Now, he's already talked about wisdom of God that comes from above. Chapter 1, every good gift and perfect gift comes down from which is above. He says, notice, but this wisdom, it is earthly. It is sensual or natural. It is devilish. It is of an earthly nature. The idea of envy, the idea of wanting what someone else has and being resentful about it, it's devilish. How do I know that? Because Satan is mad when you're following God, and so he sees that you're following God, and he resents that, and he wants that. He wants you for him, but we know that's not to be the case. Go with me to Psalm 73, if you will. Envy is treacherous. Why? Well, because it can cause the righteous to envy the evildoers. It can cause the righteous to envy those that are doing evil. Notice this, Psalm 73:3, Asaph, a psalm of Asaph. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. See, envy had tricked the psalmist, and he saw the wicked doing good, and he was envious that they were doing good, but they weren't really doing good and according to God's eyes. So the nature of envy is treacherous because it can make us start thinking about things in a way that God has said you're not supposed to think about it. Go with me to the story of the prodigal son, which, by the way, our invitation song, very fitting, Brother Gary. God is calling the prodigal. Let's talk about the prodigal son, but more importantly, let's talk about his brother. See, envy, it renders the victim miserable. And it renders the victim unhappy. Familiar with the story of the prodigal son? The younger of the two sons walks up to his father and says, I wish you were dead. Well, he doesn't say that, but he says, I wish I had my inheritance. So there's only one way to get an inheritance. The father concedes, liquidates his assets, gives it to him. The son, in not much time, the Bible says, spends that money. Now, the older brother's going to guess on harlots and all this stuff. We just know it was riotous living, prodigal living. Notice here, Luke 15 and 30. The older son, he says, Father, verse 29, I've been here all these years. I haven't been running around, and yet you haven't given me anything that I might make merry my friends. Verse 30, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured your living with harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf. To me, here's a man whose brother has returned home, and he should be overjoyous, and instead he is miserable and unhappy that he never had a party thrown for him because he stayed there. Well, to me, that's textbook envy. And he's miserable. The older brother is unhappy. Too many times we see that. Too many times we see that envy is like the cancer of the bone. Go back to what Solomon says, if you will. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 30. Notice here what Solomon says. And if anybody should know about envy, it'd be Solomon. He had everything, yet he still wanted more. Proverbs 14 and 30, a sound heart, Solomon says, is like life of the flesh. So you're doing right. It's like a healthy life. But envy, the rottenness of the bones, likened unto a cancer, something that's gotten in the bone and is slowly killing that. You know, malignancy to the bones, as leprosy is to the flesh, so is envy to our spiritual being. It's slowly killing it. Yeah, it doesn't kill you all at once. It doesn't kill you overnight. It's a slow, painful death, if you will. See, envy is a problem. But stay with me in Proverbs and go to 27 and verse 4. It's also classified as worse than anger. And we think of anger as being pretty bad. Solomon says that wrath, verse 4, is cruel, literally is cruelty, and anger is outrageous, or anger is an overflowing. But who is able to stand before envy? So he talks about wrath being bad, anger being worse, yet he says envy is worse than those two. It keeps going. Well, the nature of envy, friends, is something that I don't want. I try not to do something that's devilish, treacherous, and the like. So that's the nature of envy. We've got to look, though, at the associates of envy. You know, one of the best ways to be able to describe someone is by who they hang out with, right? Evil companions corrupt good morals. Usually good people hang out with good people. Bad people tend to hang out with bad people. I want you to look here at the associates of envy. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. We're going to look at some of the long laundry list, if you will, of sins that are found in Scripture. 1 Peter 2, 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings." So here, envy is associated with guile, with malice, hypocrisy, and evil speakings. Well, that's not a group of people that I would just necessarily want to be lumped with. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. The works of the flesh, or 21, excuse me, the works of the flesh, if you will. Galatians 5, 19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings," there you go, "murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." Well, Paul's just expounding on the list that Peter gave us, and it's not looking good. Go back to another Pauline letter, if you will, 2 Corinthians, just flip back a book, chapter 12 and verse number 20. Where here Paul says, "For I fear lest when I come I shall find you such as I would, and that will be found such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whispering, swelling, and turmoils." Once again, backbitings, you don't want these things. You see the picture, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4, envy is associated with these things. Titus 3, 3, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, and Romans 1, 29 through 32. There's 10 alone in those four verses. You get the picture? Envy is not painted well in Scripture for a reason. Envy hangs out with those that you wouldn't want to be hanging out around. Envy likes to associate with these other sins, just be lumped in. Because then that's just sin. Yes, it is. But envy is a problem. Notice this, though, as we move on. Envy, since it hangs out with all these other sins, there's havoc. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12. "Because of envy, Cain decided to kill his brother Abel." 1 John 3 and verse number 12. John says, "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous." See, Cain, he did something. God didn't approve of it. He didn't give the best that God had wanted. Abel did. Abel was approved. Cain wasn't. Therefore, he was envious. He was resentful that his brother was approved of God. He slew him. Ever thought about what that means? People like to picture it as a rock. To me, slew. And doing some study on this, it almost looks like how you would kill an animal, right? Maybe he came up and knifed him. I don't know. He killed his brother. Why? Because of envy. Because he wanted the praise that his brother had. You go to the story of Genesis chapter 26, as we were mentioning in our introduction. Because of envy, the Philistines, they stopped Isaac's well. But go with me to Genesis 37. I feel you're familiar with this one. Genesis 37. Because of envy, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, all for his colorful coat. Well, not really all for his colorful coat. That was the manifestation of his father's love. His loud sports coat, as I heard one person presented in a lesson. Look at this, Genesis 37 and 11. "And his brethren envied him." His brethren envied him. Well, he was the favorite of his father, right? Jacob loved Joseph the most. That's why he made him the coat of many colors. So that's why they concocted this plan to kill him. Reuben, the oldest brother, said, whoa, let's not kill him. Let's sell him into slavery. But I don't think we should kill him. They take that coat. They kill a baby goat, throw that blood on it, take it to Jacob, and his life is just, oh, my son, my son. Notice how this is portrayed in Acts chapter 7 and verse number 9 from Stephen as he's doing that wonderful, that valiant, that great defense. Notice this, the patriarchs, they were moved with envy as he's preaching to a Jewish audience. They sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Why does he call them the patriarchs? You ever thought about that? Well, his brethren would become the 12 tribes of Israel. So that's where all the Israelites descended from. So he said, your fathers, because of envy, they sold one of their own brothers. Literally, blood brothers into slavery. Why? Because of envy. Go me the book of Numbers, if you will. Numbers 16, 1 through 3, the story of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Moses, of course, being God's chosen leader for the Israelites, he helped them with the Exodus, the leaving of Egypt, the whole point of the book of Exodus. Because of that, he had certain abilities. He was God's prophet, if you will. He could work miracles as God demanded, you know, parting the Red Sea and the like. There were some in the Israelite camp who were envious of that ability. Notice Numbers 16, 1 through 3. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, their sons of Reuben, they took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly. They were famous in the congregation. These were well-known men. They gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, saying, or seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, the Lord is among them. Wherefore lift ye up yourselves before the congregation of the Lord? They say to Moses and to Aaron, you're making yourselves look holier than you are. You're trying to elevate yourself. We don't like the fact that God's speaking to you and not to us. Because of envy, they rebelled against Moses. Oh, by the way, that story doesn't work out well because God causes the earth to separate and to swallow them up. See, envious is a problem. Notice this here. Because of envy, Matthew 27, 18, men crucified Jesus Christ. They were resentful about the Messiah. See, he wasn't the Messiah that they wanted, but he was the Messiah that they needed. He was the prophesied one, yes, but they had this preconceived notion, he's going to come in and kick out the Romans. In a way, yes, but not on this earth. So because of envy, they crucified our Lord. Oh, by the way, because of envy, as we've studied in the book of Acts, the apostles were cast into prison. Peter and John were cast into prison because of envy. And today, brethren, today members of the Lord's church become envious of one another because one has something that the other one doesn't. Preachers become envious because one preached at a place that has this many people. One preached on this, one preached on that, and congregations even become envious of one another. Well, you've got a building that looks like this. You've got this. There is no need in the church to be envious. Why? Because we're all working for the same goal. Our goal is to get to heaven and bring as many people as we can with us following the Bible. And any true Bible-believing and obeying church has the same goal, whether it's located on Faulkner Springs Road or it's located downtown or it's in across the country, across the world. We have the same goal. There's no need to be envious in the Lord's church, dear friends. The church is not designed to harbor envy. It's to dispel envy. In fact, as we move on, God prohibits envy. Go with me here to 1 Peter 2 and 1. Notice this. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. God, I'll just put all these up here. God prohibits envy. We've already mentioned it. We'll go again. Wherefore, laying aside, let's focus on that first part. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings. If I lay aside, in my mind it carries with it the weight of I am shopping at my favorite store, probably the Walmart, because that's how that happens. And I have decided I'm not going to buy this pack of cookies, so I'm going to lay it aside. If I'm really nice, I'm going to go put it back. But I'm going to take it out of my cart, and guess what? I have laid it aside. I'm not going to get it. Well, here in my shopping cart of my life, I'm going to lay aside these five. I'm not going to get these things. I'm not going to bring them with me. I'm not going to carry them home. I'm going to lay them aside, one of those being envy. That means that God prohibits it. See what Paul says to those in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 5. We were just there earlier in this passage. Jump down to the end of it. He's talking about walking in the Spirit. We shall also live in the Spirit. He says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. Let us not be means God said don't do it. Means God said you don't need that in your life. What about Romans 13 and verse 13? You got to watch out for these passages where it's the same chapter and same number. There's usually something there to learn from it. Isn't that right, Brother Gary? Romans chapter 13 and verse 13. Notice he says, let us walk honestly. He doesn't literally mean walking, but as you live your Christian life, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantingness, not in strife and envy. Three sets of pairs. The last one being strife and envy. Walk not. Don't live this way. Don't follow after these ways. Don't live your life. What's the destination of the envious? Go back to Romans chapter 1, literally the end of the first chapter. And notice how Paul sums it up. And he's mentioned envying here in verse 29. It says full of envy, not just envying, but full of envy. These 10 people, or 10 groups of people, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but they have pleasure in them. What is the destiny of the envious? Well, according to Romans 1, worthy of death. What about Galatians 5:21? You sum it up, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't you know? They don't inherit the kingdom of God. Those that keep envy in their lives, worthy of death, that eternal, not necessarily just physical death, but that eternal separation of God, not being in the kingdom of God. So we've looked at envy and the havoc it wreaks and how it's prohibited. Now what we came here for. How do I as a Christian overcome envy? Because it can be done. Number one, love. 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, love envieth not. Well, that sums it up right there, right? If I love, then that means I have less time to envy. If a coworker gets that promotion that I really wanted and I worked hard for and he got it, I should be happy for them. Maybe they needed it more than I did and I didn't know it. Maybe whatever reason the boss has something better in plan for me down the road. See, if I truly love my neighbors myself and they succeed, I'm going to be happy as well. So love truly is the foundation. Love envies not. Number two, how to overcome envy. I've got to put on Christ. Go back to that passage in Romans 13. We're just in verse 13. I want to pick up verse 14 with it as well. Notice this, Romans 13, beginning in verse 13. He says once again, let us walk honestly, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, watch this, but change, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So how to overcome envy? Well, I put on Christ. How I put on Christ? Become a Christian. He's already mentioned that, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Being buried with him, arising to walk in a newness of life. So I become a Christian. Put you on Jesus Christ. That's how I worry about not working or walking in envy. Why? Because when I put on Christ in baptism, I try to live the life that Christ lived, and Christ did not envy. Therefore, I should not envy. Number three, how do I overcome envy? I grow up. Grow up, right? I deepen my spirituality. I become more mature. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 3. And the first three verses, if you will, literally grow. Grow as a Christian. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hither you were not able to bear it, neither were ye now able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? See, Paul says the problem in your church at Corinth, the problem is I'm trying to feed you on a steak. I'm trying to give you meat. And you can't eat it because you're still spiritually babes. You're still on the milk. Because you're still on the milk, but you have lived as a Christian, the church has been there probably 20, 30 years at this point. Because of that, you're full of envyings. See, one of the ways that we don't envy is we grow as a Christian. We deepen our spirituality. We become more mature. As you advance, you realize there's really no need for me to be envious of them. No need of it at all. Jesus Christ died for them the same way he died for me. No need to be envious. Number four, I need to walk in the Spirit. I need to walk. Go back to Galatians 5. Watch this. Walk in the Spirit. Not only am I living the life of a Christian, this is a daily walk. This I say then, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. One of the lusts of the flesh he talks about, verses 19 through 21, is envying. So if I walk in the Spirit, if I let God's Word dictate how I live my life, I will be able to overcome envy. What's next? Number five, remember, we're all part of the same body. We go back to the Corinthian letter. I see a pattern here. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26. Notice this, we're all part of the same body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Why? Verse 26. You're now bodies of Christ and members in particular. When you realize that we are one body, Christ being the head of the body, that's what he's getting at here. Yes, you may be able to do this, and another person may be able to do that. That's fine. My left arm does not envy my right arm because my right arm is stronger. It realizes its role in the body. It's not the stronger of the two arms. That's just how it is. I'm right-handed. Therefore, I use my right arm more. Likewise, we should envy one person or another in the body of Christ. There is no need to envy a fellow Christian. No need. They're working to get to heaven just like I am. Number six, what we talked about in our lesson last week. How to overcome envy? Be content. Paul says, Philippians 4 and verse 11, I have learned all things therewith to be content. You know, if I'm happy where I'm at, it's going to make me look at the way that you have things a little bit differently. I don't really need that. I didn't really need that promotion. I don't really need the new house. I don't need a new, whatever the case may be. If I'm content with what I have, and then finally go back to the book of James as we close out our lesson. Number seven, how do I overcome envy? I got to ask for God's help. I got to involve God in this problem. I know I've involved God already. Sometimes it's as simple as asking for it. Notice this, James 4, 5, and 6. Do ye think, the Scripture says in vain, that the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy there? He's quoting back from the book of Numbers. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble. Too many times, I'm afraid, dear Christian, we think we've got it in the bag. We think I can overcome this, and we never involve God, and then we never overcome. See, God wants to know. We've got to ask in faith, nothing wavering, James 1, 5, and 6. We've got to ask for God's help. We've got to be content. We've got to remember we're all part of the same body. We've got to walk in the Spirit. We've got to grow as a Christian. We've got to become a Christian. We've got to realize that love's the remedy. So, we've considered what envy is and the nature of envy. And the associates and the havoc and God's strict prohibition. Don't be envious. The destiny is destruction. Now we apply the principles which assure us a cure. We can overcome envy through Christ. Dear friends, if you're envious today, I encourage you not to be envious. I do, however, encourage you, if you're not a Christian, to become a Christian this morning. You do that by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. You go down in that watery grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ, and there's a whole room of people here who will not be envious. We will be rejoicing with you if you become a Christian.